Good morning. The scripture this morning comes from Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did all-powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who would come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said." Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe that all the prophets wrote in these scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it is getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. This is the word of God for the people of God. Please join me in prayer. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that the scripture I just read and the word Pastor Brian proclaims, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. In Christ, amen.
That was a long reading, wasn't it? That was a long reading, but like we had a long reading a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't apologize for that one either. I don't apologize for it. It all fits into my master plan, so it'll be evident here in a minute. Does anybody notice the new bulletins, the way we did it? If you like the new bulletins, then I did it. If you don't like the new bulletins, then Charles did it. So, no, seriously, we've been kind of working on this for several weeks, and we wanted to roll it out on this particular Sunday, Labor Day Sunday, because it seems like, you know, that Labor Day is kind of a turning point weekend. You know, we come out of summer, we started school, and everything else is changing in our world. So why not change the bulletin on that particular Sunday? So if you do like it, the lady that really is kind of behind this is somebody that probably should get a raise, because she had to deal with my ADD scatterbrain vision for what I wanted a bulletin to be, and she turned it into reality, the reality that you now hold in your hands. And that person is Sherry Horst. So she's also the one that answers the phone when you call during the week. So if you happen to call during the week, make sure you give her a verbal pat on the back, because she earned her keep putting up with my screwy brain and making this happen. So I'm pretty proud of it. I think she did a great job. And also, since this is kind of a component of our worship experience every week, what I thought we might do and what I want to do for the next couple of weeks is I would like to for us to focus on worship while we're at worship. Seems kind of strange, doesn't it? You don't come to worship to focus on worship. You come to worship, that's what you do, right? But we're going to talk about worship in worship. And specifically, this week we're going to talk about the mechanics of worship, kind of the basic blocking and tackling of worship. more specifically, we're going to talk about why we worship the way in which we worship. Have you ever noticed that whether you go to High Street on Saturday night or Sunday morning, or whether you're here, that each and every Sunday, by and large, the order of worship, the things we do in worship, are always done kind of in the same way? We always have a certain way we start the service, and then after that we read the scripture, and there's a sermon, and then some first Sunday of the month we'll have communion, but then we have a thing that happens after that, usually an offertory, and then a closing song, and then we go home. And it's the same pattern. And if you go to High Street to worship there, it's a little different, but the pattern's exactly the same. Have you ever noticed that? You know, I'm ashamed to say, but it wasn't until I was probably 40 years old that I ever, noticed that the worship service each and every Sunday was always the same pattern anyway. And as soon as I noticed it, then it wasn't until I was about 40 that I even bothered to ask why. See, I grew up Catholic, and in the Catholic Church, I grew up in St. Charles Parish in Kansas City. And in the Catholic Church, you know, when I was growing up, I was going to Mass, you know, every Sunday at least. And my dad went just about every day, so oftentimes I'd go more than once a week. And at St. Charles Parish, we always followed the same pattern in the Catholic Church. I didn't think much of it. But then when I graduated from high school, I went to St. Benedict's. It's a Catholic monastery. It's where I got my undergrad. And, of course, obviously, you go to church when you go to a Catholic monastery for college. So I went there, and they followed the same exact patterns as the Catholics did in Kansas City. Then I graduated from college, and Brenda and I went to our first duty assignment, which was in Germany. I don't speak a lick of German, but we went to Mass in Germany, and I could pretty much follow along because it was the same exact pattern. Had the same beginning, same middle, same ending. And then we got stationed in Alabama. And we went to the Catholic Church down there in Alabama. You got to keep in mind, Alabama's the rhinestone of the Bible Belt's buckle, right? So, yeah. So, but we went to a Catholic Church down there. And other than the southern drawl, you know, it was kind of funny, though. In nomine Patris, Spiritus Sancte, y'all, you know. Other than that, you know, it was still the same as it was in Kansas City, as it was at St. Benedict's Monastery, as it was in Germany. But here's the kicker. After we got out of the service, moved back to Kansas City, we decided we were going to look at some different denominations, some different churches. So we weren't really church shopping. We were kind of denomination shopping. So, you know, Brenda and I and the boys were still pretty little, and we started going to different churches. We went to a Presbyterian church, I think, and we went to a few different flavors of Lutheran church because they have different flavors. And so we tried all of those before we ended up in the Methodist church. And you know what the crazy thing is? Those Protestant denominations follow the same order of worship, by and large, as the Catholics. So was it the Protestants? Were they copying off the Catholics? Well, the Catholics might say so, but that's not the case at all. What I found was, and what finally occurred to me, was that, you know what? We have this same order of worship because that's how God wants us to worship. You see, worship is a conversation. Our worship experience is a conversation. And like any conversation, one person talks, the other person listens. And then the person that was listening speaks, and the person that was talking listens. And it's back and forth, isn't it? But in the case of our worship service, God always initiates the conversation. God always starts the conversation. God always makes the first move. It says in 1 John chapter 4 that we love because God first loved us. That's the only way we know to love, is because God took the initiative and first loved us. So our worship experience, it's initiated by God. I like to think of it as kind of a conversational journey. A conversational journey. And like any journey, it has a starting point, and it has an ending point, and then it's got a set amount of things or certain things that you do in between the beginning and the end. And so have your bulletin and your order of worship handy as we go through the rest of this. But isn't that conversational journey kind of what those two disciples experienced as they were hoofing it back to Emmaus from Jerusalem? It was about a 7-mile journey. And just imagine these two guys. They had ridden an emotional roller coaster that particular week. They were walking back on a Sunday. They were going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. But just 7 days prior, these guys were part of the big crowd that was the Palm Sunday crowd that was welcoming Jesus in his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He was going to be the new king of Israel. And they were welcoming the king, the conquering king, into Jerusalem with this big old, you know, if it were modern day, it'd be a ticker tape parade, but back then they waved palm branches. But just 7 days later, this king, or 5 days later, on Good Friday, the one they had just welcomed into town was crucified. And now here it is Sunday, they don't know he's risen, and they're walking back with their heads down. And lo and behold, Jesus shows up and starts walking with them. Jesus invited them into a conversation. God invites us into his presence. Jesus invited them into a conversation, right? Now, they didn't know it was Jesus at the time, but it's the same thing that happens with us. Why do we come to worship? We come to worship because God invited us to worship. And our relationship with God is all about this conversational journey that God speaks, we respond. God spoke, invited us to worship, and we respond by showing up. Those two disciples were walking on the road, and Jesus, God, invited them into a conversation. And they had a lot of baggage they were carrying, emotional baggage they were carrying. And they started recanting all the things they had gone through and the disappointment of this person that they had, this Jesus. They had such high hopes, and they felt so defeated. And so they brought their baggage. When God invites us into worship, he doesn't just invite us, he invites everything about us. And just like we show up at worship sometimes, we come to worship oftentimes beaten and with our heads down from the week we had previously. We bring all that baggage to worship. So they brought all that baggage, and Jesus listened to them. God listened to them. And that's what happens when we start our worship service. We bring all the baggage and all the junk with us, but in this first part of this call to worship part, you know, we sing and we pray, and we sing while we pray with the band, and we kind of cleanse ourselves and get ready for the next thing. And that's what happened on the way to Emmaus, because they recanted all the stuff that had happened, and then the next thing happened, and God started to speak. Remember in the scripture reading that Kaylee read, Jesus started recanting, started telling and going back in scripture from Moses all the way through the prophets of all the things that pointed to him, that pointed to the Messiah. That's what we do in our service. God speaks. We have scripture. And Jesus recanted all those things and kind of read scripture from memory to them as they walked along. And then he commented on it. He gave a sermon. He took that scripture and put it in the context of what they were experiencing, and that's what a sermon does. And that's the God speaks portion of our worship service. So they're walking along. God has spoken to them, and what happens? You know, God acts, and we respond. God acted by speaking. They responded. And how'd they respond? They responded by inviting Jesus to spend the night and have some dinner with them. How do we respond in a worship service? After God speaks, we respond with an affirmation of faith. We respond with, once a month, the Lord's Supper. We respond with baptisms on those Sundays when there's people to be baptized. We respond with people joining the church. We respond with our offertory. God speaks, we respond. Well, the disciples, in their case, they recognized Jesus in the breaking of bread, and that's when he made himself known. That's how they responded. They offered him a meal, and he partook in the meal, and the bread was broken, and that's when they finally realized, wow, this isn't just some guy. This is the risen Christ. And suddenly Jesus disappears, and they are sent. The same God that invited them into a conversation now sent them. And they went back to Jerusalem to share the good news. And that's what God does with us each and every week. That's why we worship the same way each and every time, because it's a conversation with God. And it's the way God wants us to worship. The Catholics didn't invent it. The Lutherans, no matter what flavor, the Presbyterians and the Methodists. We certainly didn't invent this worship, the way we worship every week. It was invented by God. It's how God relates to us and we relate to God. God acts, we respond. And at the very end of it, it says they were sent. And at the very end of our worship service, we are sent. And if you remember, those two guys entered into this conversation as a couple whipped pups, right? But you can't experience the divine. You can't experience God and not be transformed and changed. And they were changed. And so they had, at the beginning, had shared all the bad news with Jesus. And at the end, they realized the good news. And they went to share that good news on behalf of Jesus. We're invited here by God. We start our worship service by acknowledging, we don't just get down to business, we acknowledge the one who sent us. We center ourselves on what we're here to do. And then God speaks. Speaks through Scripture, speaks through the sermon. And then we respond by giving our first and our best with our gifts, tithes, and offerings. We respond with the Lord's Supper. We respond with our joys, concerns, our prayers. And then God sends us. As we've been blessed, he sends us to bless others. That's why we worship the way we worship. That's why we do what we do each week. That's why we'll continue to do it. Because that's the way God wants to relate to us.